the quality of care in their local communities. Intermountain Healthcare, healing for life.
It's 7:03 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. Good evening, I'm Dan Jessup. KSL's top local story this hour, a motorcyclist is dead in a hit-and-run crash in Kearns near 4710 South, 4015 West.
The driver of that motorcycle was killed. The SUV is outstanding, and we're looking at some surveillance footage, hoping to get a better idea for what that SUV looks like.
Yeah, UPD Lieutenant Lex Bell says 19-year-old Edgar Frey Rodriguez died in the crash. Since then, the suspect vehicle has been located. However, they are still seeking the driver. A body found in an isolated rugged area near the top of Ben Lomond Peak. Weber County Sheriff's Lieutenant Lane Findlay says crews have been on the scene all afternoon.
A hiker discovered the remains of what appears to be a body up on Ben Lomond Peak. And so we now have detectives processing that and working to unearth the body and bring it down.
It appears the person had been dead for quite some time. No details of age and gender so far, although a man was reported missing in April. The director of the Utah Symphony, Joseph Silverstein, from 1983 to 1998, has died at age 83. Silverstein has been called one of the most accomplished Utah Symphony directors ever and performed solo on violin many times during his tenure with Symphony. A shop where a Duchesne man makes wooden toys to donate to charities like Sub for Santa was destroyed by fire yesterday. The fire at Don McKee's Toy and Gift Shop started as he was adding wood to a stove in the shop, and the fire got away from him. McKee was able to get out of the shop without injury, but the shop was a total loss. Coming up on KSL News Radio, how about your Monday forecast? We'll check the KSL weather next. KSL News Time 7:05.
Drive to work with Utah's Morning News.
Then get coverage on Doug Wright, the browsers, and on the drive home.
Seriously, everything we do is news on KSL News Radio.
You know the story of Hansel and Gretel, where Hansel left breadcrumbs on the trail so they could find their way home? That's what can happen when you shop at stores on Black Friday or shop online Cyber Monday. You could leave breadcrumbs behind. And not the kind used for Thanksgiving stuffing. Breadcrumbs of personal information thieves can use to steal your identity and take what's yours. At LifeLock, we have proprietary technology to detect a range of threats to your identity. And unlike free credit monitoring that only tells you if your credit score has changed, we have a U.S.-based team to help clean things up if you end up with a messy identity theft on your hands. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But with LifeLock, you can shop till you drop and feel better protected. Plans start at $9.99 a month. Sign up by November 29th, and you'll get 15% off your entire first year. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code HOLIDAY15.
KSL has added more eyes to your commute to break in with problems faster.
A truck on its side, three left lanes blocked.
Triple team traffic on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by your Utah Toyota dealers. Pretty nice drive along the Wasatch Front here in the metro area this evening. No slowdowns, no accidents to report. We're looking at an overnight low about 37, tomorrow 52, and then 57 on Tuesday before a storm moves in, possibly for Wednesday and Thanksgiving. 35 now, 7:07. You get the top stories every 30 minutes. Breaking news the second it happens. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Wimmer, and this is Read Today. Each Sunday night, as your family is winding down your time together, KSL offers several stories that will delight, instruct, and yes, entertain your kids. So sit down with your preschoolers and elementary school children and listen together. We hope it encourages you to read today with KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good evening. Welcome to Read Today on KSL, where the talk stars and personalities of KSL-TV and KSL News Radio read short stories for the whole family. Let's kick off the first story from Utah's Morning News with Grant and Amanda. Here's executive producer Becky Bruce with a Harry fairy tale.
Mr. and Mrs. Harry were a couple of old fairies that guarded the gates to the greatest caves in the world. One day, Mr. Harry Fairy awoke to find that one of the locks to the gates had broken, and all of the very fairy dust was floating into the air. Mr. Harry Fairy didn't really care, but Mrs. Harry Fairy gave him a glare that told him he'd better fix the gate before all the dust escaped into the woods, turning all of the animals into little hairy fairies. So he looked at the lock and shook his head in shock, for it had rotten beyond repair. He didn't know what to do, so he took off his shoes and socks and went for a walk to find the legendary caveman who carved things out of rock. When he found the caveman, he was picking his nose, sniffing a sock, and beating his head against a rock. Mr. Harry Fairy asked him, "What in the world was he doing?" And the caveman replied, "The stink of the sock helps me think, and the rock is the stone I wish to hone into something great." "Well," said Mr. Harry Fairy, "I need your help before the fairy dust is felt by all of the creatures of the wood, and Mrs. Harry Fairy gets madder than she should. I need you to make a lock for the gates to the caves, possibly out of that rock, so it will never rot." "That would be great," said the caveman, "for this is no ordinary rock. This is an emerald, which is green and won't easily be seen. Thus, it will protect the very fairy dust." He then gave it a thought, sniffed his sock, and began honing the stone into a great lock for the gates to the caves Mr. and Mrs. Harry Fairy were bound to save. Mr. Harry Fairy was both nervous and excited, for he knew Mrs. Harry Fairy was going to like it. When the caveman was done, Mr. Harry Fairy paid him in breadcrumbs from the sack he carried on his back. It was getting late, he knew, so he took flight and flew back to the caves and replaced the lock on the gates. With all of the fairy dust safe in the cave, Mr. and Mrs. Harry Fairy combed the hair on their heads, then went to bed, and they dreamt of little pixies flittering about and putting glitter on people's snouts. The end.
The Jackalope Conspiracy. Know the truth, live with fear. The jackalope is an antlered species of rabbit. Unfortunately, rumored to be extinct, though occasional sightings of this rare creature continue to occur, suggesting that pockets of jackalope populations continue to persist in its native home, the American West. The jackalope is an aggressive species, willing to use its antlers to fight. Thus, it is also sometimes called the warrior rabbit. Jackalopes possess an uncanny ability to mimic human sounds. In the Old West, when cowboys would gather by their campfires to sing at night, jackalopes would frequently be heard singing back, mimicking the voices of the cowboys. Jackalopes become especially vocal before thunderstorms, perhaps because they mate only when lightning flashes, or so it is theorized. When chased, the jackalope will use its vocal abilities to elude capture. For instance, when chased by people, it will call out phrases such as, "There he goes, over there," in order to throw pursuers off its track. The best way to catch a jackalope is to lure it with Hawaiian punch, as they have a particular fondness for this drink. Once intoxicated, the animal becomes slower and easier to hunt. Jackalope milk is particularly sought after because it is believed to be a powerful aphrodisiac. However, it can be incredibly dangerous to milk a jackalope, and any attempt to do so is not advised. A peculiar feature of the milk is that it comes from the animal already homogenized on account of the creature's powerful leaps. The jackalope is now most commonly sighted in the states of Colorado, Wyoming, and Utah. However, the jackalope does appear to have a European cousin, which in Germany is known as the Walperdinger. In Sweden, a related species is called the Skavator. The end.
What goes around comes around. One day, a man saw an old lady stranded on the side of the road, but even in the dim light of day, he could see she needed help, so he pulled in front of her Mercedes and got out. His Pontiac was still sputtering as he approached her. Even with the smile on his face, she was worried. No one had stopped to help her for the last hour or so. Was he going to hurt her? He didn't look safe. He looked poor and hungry. He could see that she was frightened, standing out there in the cold. He knew how she felt. It was those chills which only fear could put in you. He said, "I'm here to help you, ma'am. Why don't you wait in the car where it's warm? By the way, my name's Brian Anderson." All she had was a flat tire, but for an old lady, that was bad enough. Brian crawled under the car looking for a place to put the jack, skinning his knuckles a time or two. Soon he was able to change the tire, but he had to get dirty and his hands hurt. As he was tightening up the lug nuts, she rolled down the window and began to talk to him. She told him that she was from St. Louis and was only passing through. She couldn't thank him enough for coming to her aid. Brian just smiled and closed her trunk. The lady asked how much she owed him. Any amount would have been fine with her. She already imagined all the awful things that could have happened had he not stopped. Brian never thought twice about being paid. This wasn't a job to him. This was helping someone in need, and there were plenty who'd given him a hand in the past. He'd lived his whole life that way, and never occurred to him to act any other way. He told her that if she really wanted to pay him back, the next time she saw someone who needed help, she could give that person the assistance they needed. And Brian added, "And think of me." He waited until she started her car and drove off. It had been a cold, depressing day, but he felt good as he headed home, disappearing into the twilight. A few miles down the road, the lady saw a small cafe. She went in to grab a bite to eat and take the chill off before she made the last leg of her trip home. It was a dingy-looking restaurant. Outside, there were two old gas pumps. The whole scene was unfamiliar to her. The waitress came over and brought her a clean towel to wipe her wet hair. She had a sweet smile, one that even being on her feet for the whole day couldn't erase. The lady noticed the waitress was nearly 8 months pregnant, but she never let the strain and aches change her attitude. The old lady wondered, how could someone with so little be giving to a stranger? Then she remembered Brian. After the lady finished her meal, she paid with a $100 bill. The waitress quickly went to change her $100 bill, but the old lady had slipped right out the door. She was gone by the time the waitress came back. The waitress wondered where the lady could be. Then she noticed something written on the napkin. There were tears in her eyes when she read what the lady wrote. "You don't owe me anything. I've been there too. Somebody once helped me out the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let this chain of love end with you." Under the napkin, there were four more $100 bills. Well, there were tables to clear, sugar bowls to fill, and people to serve, but the waitress made it through another day. That night, when she got home from work, she climbed into bed. She was thinking about the money and what the lady had written. How could the lady have known how much her and her husband needed it? With the baby due next month, it was going to be hard. She knew how worried her husband was, and as he lay sleeping next to her, she gave him a soft kiss and whispered soft and low, "Everything's going to be all right. I love you, Brian Anderson." There's an old saying, what goes around, comes around.
Stay tuned. More great stories coming up on Read Today on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
You need plenty of warning for the nasty weather we'll get this month. The storms mean cold, snow, and rain. That's Utah.
The severe weather affects your drive and slows down traffic everywhere.
Our traffic team, our weather team, and now Brian Martin. We all work together to make the difficult days a lot brighter.
For severe weather, everything we do is news. Mornings 5 to 9 on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I'm Dr. Walt Medlin from the Bariatric Medicine Institute. Weight loss surgery changed my life. I went from about 300 pounds before surgery to about 210 pounds now, and my blood pressure is controlled so that I no longer live in fear of a deadly or disabling stroke. Did you know that Medicaid covers bariatric surgery for weight loss? It also covers metabolic surgery for diabetes. Medicare, TRICARE, the VA, and federal employee plans are required to cover obesity as a chronic disease. 27 states all mandate fair coverage. Isn't it time for our Utah employers and insurance companies to do the same? We need your voice. Policymakers at the state level, at insurance companies, and employers need to hear from you. Contact us for information that will help them make responsible choices to save lives and save money.
For more information about weight loss surgery and the steps you can take to get coverage, call BMI, the Bariatric Medicine Institute. Call 746-2885 today for more information on how you or a loved one can get coverage. That's 746-2885.
I'm Tom Shane, on the air, finding out what guys are getting their ladies for Christmas. Matt, you're next.
Hey, Tom.
Tell us, Matt, what are you getting your wife this year?
A brand new printer.
Well, lucky for you, we've got Rachel on the other line.
Hi, Tom.
Oh, no.
Rachel, Matt's planning on getting you a printer for Christmas.
Matt, I don't want a printer. You want a printer. I want something special.
But I thought that you would like...
Tell him, Tom.
Matt,
it's a printer.
Come to Shane Company for our biggest holiday collection of fine jewelry ever. We call it Toyland.
My kind of toys.
We have natural sapphire pendants and matching earrings starting at $175. The sapphires come in lots of colors, and my favorite is blue. We also design modern diamond pendants and matching earrings in 14-karat gold from $450 to around $1,600.
And that, only Shane Company has them.
Shop our Toyland collection only at Shane Company and Shaneco.com. Now you have a friend in the jewelry business.
Do you love love stories? I'm author Richard Paul Evans, and I have an early Christmas present for you and all your reading friends. My new book, The Mistletoe Inn. The Mistletoe Inn is the story of Kim Rossi, a 32-year-old woman who has had her heart broken more times than she cares to remember. Yet she still holds to her dream of being a best-selling romance writer. Attending a Christmastime writers' conference in snowy Vermont at the Mistletoe Inn, Kim meets a man who teaches her that there's more to love than just writing about it. The Mistletoe Inn. I hope you and everyone you share my book with enjoy it. Happy holidays and a very Merry Christmas season.
This holiday, unwrap a gift for your soul. Richard Paul Evans' newest novel, The Mistletoe Inn. There's a reason the New York Times has called Richard Paul Evans the king of Christmas fiction. You're going to love this new holiday treat, The Mistletoe Inn. Get your copies today, wherever books and ebooks are sold.
This is Read Today's Short Stories for the whole family on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. I'm Amy Iverson with The Browser, and right now, every evening, my husband is reading aloud the Lord of the Rings trilogy to my three kids. With character voices and everything, he does a perfect Gollum. Now, you know, reading together as a family is the perfect way to end the day. I'm going to read from the Book of Fables and Folk Stories. It's called The Elves and the Shoemaker. There was once a shoemaker who worked very hard and was honest. Still, he could not earn enough to live on. At last, all he had in the world was gone, except just leather enough to make one pair of shoes. He cut these out at night and meant to rise early the next morning to make them up. His heart was light in spite of his troubles, for his conscience was clear. So he quietly went to bed, left all his cares to God, and fell asleep. In the morning, he said his prayers and sat down to work, when to his great wonder, there stood the shoes already made upon the table. The good man knew not what to say or think. He looked at the work. There was not one false stitch in the whole job. All was neat and true. That same day, a customer came in, and the shoes pleased him so well that he readily paid a price higher than usual for them. The shoemaker took the money and bought leather enough to make two pairs more. He cut out the work in the evening and went to bed early. He wished to be up with the sun and get to work. He was saved all trouble, for when he got up in the morning, the work was done. Pretty soon, buyers came in who paid him well for his goods. So he bought leather enough for four pairs more. He cut out the work again overnight and found it finished in the morning as before. So it went on for some time. What was readied at night was always done by daybreak, and the good man soon was well to do. One evening at Christmas time, he and his wife sat over the fire chatting. And he said, "I should like to sit up and watch tonight, that we may see who it is that comes and does my work for me." So they left the light burning and hid themselves behind a curtain to see what would happen. As soon as it was midnight, there came two little elves. They sat upon the shoemaker's bench, took up all the work that was cut out, and began to ply their little fingers. They stitched and rapped and tapped at such a rate that the shoemaker was amazed and could not take his eyes off them for a moment. On they went till the job was done, and the shoes stood ready for use upon the table. This was long before daybreak. Then they ran away as quick as lightning. The next day, the wife said to the shoemaker, "These little elves have made us rich, and we ought to be thankful for them and do them some good in return.
I am vexed to see them run about as they do. They have nothing upon their backs to keep off the cold. I'll tell you what we must do. I will make each of them a shirt and a coat and waistcoat and a pair of pantaloons into the bargain. You make each of them a little pair of shoes. The good shoemaker liked the thought very well. One evening, he and his wife had the clothes ready and laid them on the table instead of the work they used to cut out. Then they went and hid behind the curtain to watch what the little elves would do. At midnight, the elves came in and were going to sit down at their work as usual. But when they saw the clothes lying there for them, they laughed and were in high glee. They dressed themselves in the twinkling of an eye and danced and capered and sprang about as merry as could be, till at last they danced out the door and over the green. The shoemaker saw them no more, but everything went well with him as long as he lived. The end.
Hello, I'm Carol Makita from KSL 5. You're listening to Read Today on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Have you ever been wandering through the forest on a dark night and you have to cross the bridge, but there's somebody keeping you from it? It's Snidely the Bridge Troll. From KSL News Radio, executive producer, Utah's Afternoon News, here's Brian Martin.
Once upon a time, there was a troll that lived up under the creek bridge down at Low Hollow Creek. He was a short, ugly fellow, but very strong. His hair was straight, red, and stuck out like a mop. His skin was really wrinkly and felt like sandpaper. His clothes were always smelly. His name was Snidely. One day, Snidely was sleeping, and something woke him up. Someone was coming. It was a young boy and girl in a carriage. Every time someone tried to cross the bridge, Snidely would jump out in front, cross his arms, and demand $1. "You cannot cross my bridge without giving me a dollar first," said Snidely, with a scowl on his face. "If you didn't pay, he would throw you over the side." The boy and girl in the carriage were so scared they could hardly speak. "Okay, we will pay," said the boy to Snidely. "We have to get home before the storm," he said to the girl. Snidely let them through and waved as they got to the other side and rode out of sight. He really wasn't mean. He just wanted to see if people would really pay. Back under the bridge again, Snidely began to hear some wind and it began to rain. It rained harder and harder. Snidely began to worry as the water started to rise in the creek. He was a strong bully, but he could not swim. Higher and higher it rose. Snidely began to sweat. Snidely had to do something quickly, or he would be washed down the river. He got out from under the bridge and went over to the tall fir tree next to the creek. He figured he would climb up high enough that he would not have to worry about the water. Just as he began to climb, he heard, "Stop! You can't climb this tree without paying me $5. It was Chunky the gorilla. Chunky was a nice gorilla, but he was very tired of seeing Snidely causing so much trouble with the people crossing the bridge. "I only have $4, said Snidely. "I guess you'll have to swim for it then," said Chunky to Snidely. "I don't know how to swim," said Snidely. "I will surely drown." "That's a bummer. You should have saved your money," said Chunky. "I tell you what I'll do," said Chunky. "If you will agree not to charge people for crossing the bridge anymore, I will not only let you climb my tree, but you can come into my house and have dinner with me, as I was just getting ready to sit down and eat." "It's a deal," said Snidely. They sat down, ate dinner, and became very good friends. From that day forward, Snidely became known as the nice troll that lived under the bridge. Whenever someone came down in the hollow to cross the creek bridge, Snidely would walk and talk with them as they went across. Sometimes he would even sell them drinks and food from a little store he started next to the bridge. Now people come to the creek bridge whenever they can to see Snidely. He is actually a real fun guy.
Stay tuned. More great stories coming up on Read Today on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Visit KSLNewsRadio.com to win great prizes, like tickets to the Crossroads of the West Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Southtown Expo Center, or win a new Pioneer receiver for your car, including $150 towards installation at Sound Warehouse. Upgrade your in-car listening with HD radio technology, now featuring KSL's emergency alerts. It's all there, so bookmark us online today at KSLNewsRadio.com.
This week, the KSL Teacher Feature Award goes to Heidi Bird at Adams Elementary School in Layton. Many tears as the nominating letter written by Rowena Ward was read. Rowena wrote about her son, Lota, and how Ms. Bird helped to diagnose his brain tumor because he couldn't read the chalkboard very well and was getting very tired in class. Assistant Principal Brooke Murdoch.
Heidi is an exceptional teacher. She's always working so hard. She goes out of her way to help her students succeed. And
Heidi Bird went to Lota's bedside to help him with his homework. She asked all the students to send prayers for Lota.
Lota is in Minnesota seeing a special doctor to see if they can use a laser to reduce his tumor.
She says she's grateful for the award and surprised.
It's a blessing. I love teaching. I love all the children.
Heidi Bird receives a special recognition award from Zions Bank, an overnight stay at the Anniversary Inn, dinner for two at the Roof Restaurant downtown, two season passes to the Hale Center Theater in West Valley, and at the end of the year, one lucky teacher will win the lease of a new car provided by Burt Brothers Tire and Service.
SSS.gov presents Good Advice from Dad.
Do that.
Dad's advice is usually pretty simple.
Don't do that.
Here's Dad on important topics like asking out that girl you like.
Do that.
On asking out her sister.
Don't do that.
Now here's Dad on going to SSS.gov and registering with Selective Service when a young man turns 18.
Do that.
See? Dad knows it's the law and that registering will preserve your eligibility for college loans and government jobs. Go to SSS.gov today and register.
Do that.
Good evening, 7:30 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. I'm Dan Jessup. KSL's top national story this hour from ABC News. In an intensified effort to put an end to the level 4 terror alert, keeping many Belgians inside their homes this weekend, authorities conducted a series of house raids today. The city of Brussels has been under tight security measures with the subway system closed and major events canceled. The government fearing a Paris-style attack. At a press conference, Thierry Wertz with the Belgian Federal Prosecutor's Office said the man believed to be the eighth Paris attacker is still on the loose, thought to be hiding in Brussels.
Salah Abdeslam is not among the persons arrested during the searches.
In the war against terrorism, hundreds of local federal law enforcement agents conducted active shooter drills in New York City this morning. They're fine-tuning security measures in the subway and conducting the first active shooter drill underground. In Manhattan, Homeland Security Chief Jay Johnson insisting there's no specific credible threats of a Paris-like attack directed against the U.S. homeland.
As we approach the holiday season, it's important for all Americans to know that your law enforcement, national security, intelligence communities are continually on the job, continually evaluating and reevaluating our posture.
Representative LeVar Christensen wants Utah lawmakers to have open hearts and open minds as the legislature considers further anti-discrimination and religious rights bills like those passed early this year. Christensen calling on other legislators to continue to uphold religious freedoms outlined in the Utah Constitution. A faith fair and rally to support Utah's LGBTQ community yesterday. Organizers say it's hard to deny that people have been impacted by the policy update from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints regarding same-sex couples. The LDS Church affirmed its belief that marriages between a man and a woman and stated children living in a home with same-sex parents cannot be baptized until they turn 18. Coming up on KSL News Radio, going to be cold overnight. We'll check your Monday forecast next. KSL News Time, 7:32.
I'm Brian Martin with Utah's Morning News.
This person has been quarantined and is undergoing treatment right now.
On alert for breaking news, and it's important you hear it 5 to 9 on KSL News Radio.
Happy Honda Days brings better fuel economy, higher resale, and clearance pricing to your Utah Honda dealers.
I'm so happy.
America's best overall brand, Honda, tops your shopping list with the industry's most prestigious awards and standard features the competition just can't match, like rear-view cameras, standard on every 2016 Honda. Put an all-new restyled 2016 Accord under the tree. The all-new Accord comes standard with alloy wheels, Bluetooth, dual-zone climate control, available Apple CarPlay and Android audio, and it's clearance priced at 0.9% financing. Don't let Santa away without the final 2015 Honda Civics with 39 miles per gallon, an IIHS top safety pick, and top-rated vehicle by Edmunds. Rush to your Utah Honda dealer for clearance pricing on the final 2015 Civics and 0.9% financing. Happy Honda Days from your Utah Honda dealers. See dealers for financing details.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything. Boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Get more help on the way to work.
We have triple the resources. Three sets of eyes on the road. We'll break in as often as it takes, keeping you out of those backups.
Triple Team Traffic, mornings and afternoons on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by your Utah Toyota dealers. Eastbound I-80 right around Colville. There's an accident there slowing things down just a bit. Be advised of that if you're in the area. Looking at an overnight low of 37, tomorrow up to 52. Then warming to 57 before a storm moves in for Wednesday and Thanksgiving Day. Downtown 35 at 7:35. You get the top stories every 30 minutes. Breaking news the second it happens. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Tall tales, American folklore, and stories that teach children on the radio edition of Read Today from KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Here's our next adventure.
From KSL 5, a tall tale from John Hollenhorst.
Round River Drive, a Wisconsin tall tale. Well now, Paul Bunyan scouted around the north woods of Wisconsin for quite a while before he found the perfect spot for his winter lumber camp. It was right next to a fast river, and Paul figured they could pile the logs up right next to it, and come springtime it would be mighty easy to tumble the logs into the river and float them down to the mill. Soon, the woods beside that mighty river were bustling with activity and calls of timber as the lumberjacks felled the huge trees. Babe the Blue Ox and his cousin, Little Benny, were kept busy from dawn to dusk hauling logs to the river. And Sourdough Sam, the cook, hardly stepped foot outside his cooking shanty, neither, working all day and most of the night to keep all them lumberjacks fed. Took about 20 cooking assistants alone just to make enough flapjacks for Paul Bunyan. Well, by the time spring rolled around, they had logs piled up so high, folks passing through Wisconsin mistook them for a mountain range and thought they'd reached the Rockies. The mighty river was free of ice, and Paul declared himself ready to take the first big batch of logs downriver to the sawmill the very next morning. In preparation for his journey to civilization, Paul struggled out of his huge red long johns and took a bath in Lake Superior. Then he washed the long johns and strung them up to dry on the flagpole. When they flapped in the breeze, it scared the migrating birds so much they turned around and went back south. Paul Bunyan, the shanty cook Joe Murphy, and the other river drivers all piled up onto the log raft and set off down the river. It was a pleasant ride overall, and it didn't take more than 3 days for him to spot smoke rising above the woods. "Can't be the sawmill," Paul Bunyan told his men. "That's still a couple of weeks away. Must be another lumber camp. I thought we were the only ones up this far." The fellers watched a while as the camp drew nearer and nearer. It had a huge cooking shanty, more than an acre long, and a great big barn. And a fella that looked just like Sourdough Sam came out and rang the dinner bell to call the lumberjacks in to supper. There was even a pair of red long johns hanging from the flagpole. "Looks like a nice place," Joe Murphy said. "Just like our camp. Funny how they got a pair of red long johns up on their flagpole just like us." And the men all agreed. It was too bad they couldn't stop and rest a while, but they needed to get to the sawmill lickety-split, so they just kept going. The river drivers were kept busy fighting the rapids and portaging over shallow spots for the next couple of days. On the third day, they spotted smoke coming over the top of the trees. "Another lumber camp!" Paul Bunyan exclaimed in irritation. "Jiminy, if this keeps up, Wisconsin will be lumbered out in no time." The log raft floated past a huge cooking shanty more than an acre long, and a fella what looked just like Sourdough Sam waved to him from the doorway. Then they floated beside a huge barn big enough to fit Babe the Blue Ox. Finally, they rounded a bend and saw a tall flagpole with a pair of red long johns strung up at the top. "These lumber camps all look alike," Joe Murphy complained. "You'd think they'd have some variety or something." "And there's too many of them," Paul Bunyan replied as they floated on down the river toward the sawmill. "They're going to put us out of business. I'll have to look into it when we get back from the mill." At the moment, they hit some rapids, just like they had right after seeing the first lumber camp, and they were too busy working to say any more about it. But 3 days later, when they spotted yet another lumber camp, Paul Bunyan got mad. He was the first scout in these spots. How dare all these lumberjacks invade his territory without talking to him first? After all, the North Woods were only so big. "Well, this dadgum camp is just like the rest," exclaimed Joe Murphy as they pulled the raft toward shore. "Same cooking shanty, same big barn, same flagpole with the long johns on top. Jiminy, get some variety, folks." Paul Bunyan jumped out as soon as they reached the bank and went storming toward the main building to complain to the boss. But halfway there, Sourdough Sam himself came out of the cooking shanty to ring the supper bell. "Sourdough, what are you doing here?" Paul Bunyan asked in astonishment. "Well, I work here," said Sourdough Sam, "and so do you." "Dadgum, you mean this is my camp?" asked Paul Bunyan. "Sure 'tis," said Sourdough Sam. "We've been watching you fellers floating past the camp every couple of days with the lumber, and we've been wondering where you think you're going. I thought you was headed south to the sawmill." "So we've been going around in a circle all this while," mused Paul Bunyan. Then he started laughing and slapped his leg with his huge hand. "Well, we must have been logging next to the Round River. I heard there was a big old river in the north of Wisconsin that ran in a perfect circle with no way out. I guess this must be it." "Well, that explains why we never reached a sawmill," Joe Murphy said, as he and the boys from the lumber raft came ashore to see what was keeping Paul Bunyan, "and why all the lumber camps looked the same." All the lumberjacks laughed heartily when they realized that Mother Nature had played a good joke on them. Who'd have ever guessed they were working on the only round river in the world? Then they went into the cooking shanty and ate flapjacks until they were ready to burst. And Paul Bunyan went scouting around until he found a river that really did run south to the sawmill. And they took the logs out that way instead. The next year, Paul Bunyan was careful to avoid the Round River when scouting out a camp for the winter logging. Once was enough. The end.
Hi, I'm Andy Farnsworth from the KSL Traffic Center. You're listening to Read Today on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. This poem is called Today I Had a Rotten Day by Ken Nesbitt. Today I had a rotten day as I was coming in from play. I accidentally stubbed my toes and tripped and fell and whacked my nose. I chipped a tooth, I cut my lip, I scraped my knee, I hurt my hip. I pulled my shoulder, tweaked my ear, and got a bruise upon my rear. I banged my elbow, barked my shin. A welt is forming on my chin. My pencil poked me in the thigh. I got an eyelash in my eye. I sprained my back. I wrenched my neck. I'm feeling like a total wreck. So that's the last time I refuse when teacher says to tie my shoes. The end.
Stay tuned. More great stories coming up on Read Today on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's easy to look at current world events or even our own political chaos and lose the meaning of Thanksgiving. So it's important that all of us here at KSL News Radio take this time to thank you for listening, for making us your first choice, your trusted choice. And thank you to the men and women who serve our military and can't come home for Thanksgiving. From our family to your family, many blessings this holiday season. From KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hey, nice truck. And wow, what's that on the back?
Oh, that's my new Line X truck bed cover from Jordan Camper.
Oh, wow, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I know. It's Mondo durable and dent resistant.
Oh, really?
And it looks ultra cool, doesn't it?
It does.
Plus, it's got an international warranty that lasts the entire life of my truck.
I'll go for a ride with you.
You will?
That is, if you're asking.
Yeah, I am.
It's time to protect and customize your truck. Jordan Camper at 7000 South State in Midvale is the place for truck accessories, such as side steps, drop-in and spray-in bed liners, towing products, and wiring. Jordan Camper carries the highest quality of truck covers, work shells, and fiberglass and commercial toppers for your truck featuring ARE. Fast professional installation on everything they sell. Jordan Camper, 7000 South State in Midvale. Check out our website, jordancamper.com.
Are you hiring but not sure where to find the best candidates? As a business owner, I can tell you that your company is only as good as the people you hire. I can also tell you that posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. But when you're short-staffed, there's no time to deal with the dozens of different job sites. Until now. Thanks to ZipRecruiter.com, I can post to 100-plus job sites with one single click and be instantly matched to candidates from over 4 million resumes. Just post once, and within 24 hours, watch your candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses, and you can try it right now for free. Getting the right people for your company is so important. Try ZipRecruiter and get your perfect candidate before they go to somebody else. Today, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio.
If you are one of the millions of adults who suffer from moderate to severe plaque-type psoriasis, please listen closely to the following message. The University of Utah Department of Dermatology is looking for adults to participate in a research study. In order to qualify, you must have moderate to severe plaque-type psoriasis, which look like raised red patches covered with a silvery white buildup of dead skin cells or scale. These patches or plaque most often appear on the scalp, knees, elbows, and lower back. They are standing by. Call 801-213-2726. Remember, this study is for adults who currently have moderate to severe chronic plaque-type psoriasis. There is no cost to you, and study participants may receive compensation for some study visits. Health insurance is not needed. That's 801-213-2726. 801-213-2726.
Hello and welcome back to Read Today on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM at 1160 AM. Short stories for the whole family. Let's get into our next adventure. It's a tall tale about Pecos Bill.
Hi, I'm Tim Hughes, anchor for Utah's Noon News on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. It's always fun to celebrate reading with tall tales about the Wild West. Here's a story we thought you might enjoy.
Vegas Bill was quite a cowboy down in Texas, and a Western Superman, to say the least. He was the roughest, toughest critter never known to be a quitter, cause he never had no fear of man nor beast.
So yippee-yay, yippee-yo, he's the toughest critter west of the Alamo.
Well now, Pecos Bill was born in the usual way to a real nice cowpoke and his wife who were journeying west with their 18 children. Bill's ma knew right away from the start that he was something else. He started talking for he was a month old, did his teething on his pa's bowie knife, and rode his first horse just as soon as he learned to sit up on his own. When he started to crawl, Pecos Bill would slither out of the wagon while his mama was cooking supper and wrestle with the bear cubs and other wild animals that roamed the prairies. Yep, the whole family was expecting great things of little Bill. That is, until they lost him in the drink. Seems they took the wagons over to the Pecos River while Pecos Bill was taking a nap, and he got bounced out of the back and swept downstream before anyone missed him. If he hadn't taught himself to swim right quick, he would have been a goner. Right about the time Pecos Bill was drying out and trying to get a fix on where he was, a mama coyote came along and decided to adopt the poor waif and raise him with the rest of her pups. So, Pecos Bill spent the first 15 years of his life running around with a coyote pack, howling to the moon, chasing prey across the prairies and having the time of his life. Pecos Bill plumb forgot all about his real family until the day he turned 16 and his older brother came along. He was punching a herd of longhorn cattle and had brought them down to drink from the Pecos River. The old cowpoke took one look at Pecos Bill and knew he'd found his long-lost brother on account of he looked just like their ma, who had died of a broken heart after they lost little Bill in the river. See here? Ain't you Pecos Bill, my little brother? Demanded the cowpoke of Pecos Bill when he came jumping over a giant log to run from the field and howl at the full moon. Don't think so, said Pecos Bill. I'm a coyote. Listen to me howl. Arr! Pecos Bill let out a horrendous shout and scamped across the field on all fours. He scared the herd so bad that the longhorns almost stampeded. You stop that, Bill's brother shouted after he got the cattle calmed down, and tell me this. How come you ain't got a long bushy tail if you're a coyote? That was a tricky question. Pecos Bill thought about it for a long time. I got fleas, he volunteered, and I howl at the moon. Ow! Everybody in Texas has fleas and howls at the moon. That ain't no excuse, said his big brother. Anyhow, you can walk upright like a normal person and you can talk too. Now that ain't what a coyote does. I guess you're right, said Pecos Bill. Course I'm right. I'm your big brother and I ought to know, snapped the cowpoke. It's about time you stopped fooling around on the prairie and became a cowboy just like the rest of us. Now that made good sense to Pecos Bill, so he bid farewell to the coyote pack and went out west with his brother to learn to be a cowboy. Soon as he learned the ropes some, Pecos Bill began to realize that the cowboys needed some new tricks to help them cope with their stubborn longhorns. The cowboys kept getting the cows mixed up, which made the owners mad. So, Pecos Bill invented the branding iron so they could put a mark on each cow telling everybody who owned it. Then he noticed that the older cowboys were having trouble making the wilder cows behave. Now, whenever Pecos Bill saw a cow misbehaving, he'd jump on its back and ride it until it bucked and kicked itself into behaving better. Yeehaw! But the other cowboys weren't so skilled as Bill, so he invented the lasso to help them tame the wild cows. Pecos Bill's brother was right proud of him. Not bad for a kid raised by a bunch of coyotes, he said, baby brother. In another couple of years, you'll be the toughest cowboy in the world. And he was right.
So yippee-yay, yippee-yo. He's the toughest critter west of the Alamo.
From the KSL Traffic Center, and you're listening to Read Today on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Let's have some fun with a tall tale about the fisherman and the bear. One fine day, an old Maine man was fishing and fishing on his favorite lake and catching nary a thing. Finally, he gave up and walked back along the shore to his fishing shack. Well, when he got close to the front door, he saw it was open, and being of a suspicious nature, he walked to the door quietly and looked inside. There was a big black bear. It was just pulling the cork out of his molasses jug with its teeth. Those molasses spilled all over the floor, and the bear rubbed his paw in it, smearing it everywhere. Well, the old man was not the timid sort, so he went to the back of the shack, put his head in the window, and gave a loud yell. The bear jumped and ran out the door. It was running strangely. The old man saw that the bear was holding up the foot covered with molasses so it wouldn't get dirty. Well, that bear ran to the lake shore, and standing on its hind legs, it held up the paw full of molasses. Well, soon, all the flies and bugs and mosquitoes were swarming all over that sticky, sweet paw. And then the bear waded into the water with his sticky paw full of bugs. It held the paw out over the water, and suddenly, a big trout came jumping out of that water trying to get to those flies. Well, the bear gave it a swat, and it flew to the shore and flopped down right there. Then, another fish jumped into the air after the flies, followed swiftly by another. And every time a fish jumped after his paw, that bear cuffed it ashore. Soon, it had a large pile. Finally, that bear decided he had enough fish and waded to shore. The bear had caught a mess of fish that any fisherman would envy, and the old man had caught nothing. He watched that bear eat half a dozen trout while his stomach was rumbling. All he had for dinner was some bread and what was left of the molasses. Finally, the bear paused in his eating and looked over to the bushes where the old man was hidden. The bear stood up and laid the remaining fish in a row. Then it walked away up the shore. It kept looking back at the bushes where the old man stood. The old man crept out of the bushes and down to the shore. Sure enough, that bear had left 6 large trout for him. He looked over at that bear. It was standing at the edge of the woods just watching. "Thanks a lot," the old man called to the bear. The bear waved the now clean paw at the old man and disappeared into the thicket. "Well," said the old man, "that's the first time a bear has ever paid me for my molasses." And that old man never hunted bears again. The end. Parents, be sure to log your child's daily reading minutes for prizes on KSL.com under Read Today.
You've been listening to Read Today on KSL News Radio. Don't forget, read every day and log your minutes on KSL.com. Until next week, this is Read Today on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Molina Healthcare employees will be distributing a total of 300 reusable grocery bags filled with Thanksgiving-related food items free at the Molina Medical Clinic in West Valley on Monday, November 23rd from 4 to 6 p.m. Everything will go on a first-come, first-served basis to the first 200 families in attendance at the West Valley location while supplies last. That's Monday, November 23rd from 4 to 6 p.m. at Molina Medical Clinic, 2196 West, 3500 South in West Valley City. For more, visit MolinaHealthcare.com.
A single ember that escapes from a wildfire can travel over a mile carrying a world of trouble. It can land, ignite, and destroy your home and community. You can't control where that ember will land, only what happens before it does. With simple things like clearing areas around buildings, knowing community safe zones, and being prepared for wildfires, you could keep this from turning into this. Your home is better protected from wildfire when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Introducing a new day of the week. It's called Someday. Now, everything you were going to do someday is on the calendar. Want to retire someday? You'll really want this. A My Social Security account at socialsecurity.gov. You can estimate your future benefits and manage current benefits online. Millions of people have a My Social Security account. Get yours today, because someday is here at socialsecurity.gov.
Who do I play for? I play high school basketball for every baller who ever played a pickup game on a driveway, playground, or alley, because we all share the same dream. I play for buzzer beaters, big-time boards, and burying rainmakers. I play high school basketball for the chance to put my hometown in Utah on the map by playing in a state championship.
Only 0.5% of all high school student-athletes play basketball in college, but all 100% of them become adults. That's why playing basketball in their high school team is so important. High school athletes learn life lessons that help them grow up, lessons that can't be taught in the classroom and often aren't taught at home.
I play high school basketball because I love performing in front of a capacity crowd in my hometown gym.
This message presented by the Utah High School Activities Association and the Utah Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Fastest source for breaking news. Streaming live on your phone with iHeartRadio. Tune in and the app for KSL. KSL FM Midvale. KSL Salt Lake City. KSL News Radio.